Aloha and welcome to Elevating Motherhood. I'm so glad you're here. I'm your host, Lori Beth Aldridge. I've taken my passion for conversation, perspective, and supporting moms and turned it into a podcast. My goal is to talk openly about motherhood, offer new ideas, and help moms find their confidence in this busy and sometimes overwhelming world we live in. We're going to dive deep, open up, and elevate motherhood. Thanks for being here with me. Let's get started. This is a really important episode to me. My grandmother passed away at the end of 2002, and we just got back to Idaho after her funeral in Ohio. And I have to tell you that with her passing, I feel changed. I feel like our family's hearts will be forever full and forever broken all at the same time. So I did want to take a moment to mark this extremely significant moment in my life, but also to share with you some of the insights that my grandmother's passing has brought to the surface in my life. I feel changed as a person and especially as a mom. So I'd like to walk you through what that looks like, starting with my grandmother's obituary. And I'm sorry if I get a little sad during the reading of it. My grandma Huck was one of my favorite people in the whole world. Mary Elizabeth Lang Huck, 91, of Vincent, died at Marietta Memorial Hospital on the morning of December 30th, 2022. She was born May 9, 1931, in Lowell, Ohio, to the late William and Eleanor Dyer Lang. She attended Fisher School and Lowell High School, where she graduated in 1949. She worked at B.T. Tharp Store, The Clean Spot, and Marietta Truck Growers in Lowell before she was married. She was a member of St. John the Baptist Catholic Church in Churchtown, Ohio, and the Catholic Women's Club. She was a lifelong homemaker, farmer, and one of the most prolific quilt makers in the area, which is true. She took great pride in sending quilts and comforters to Nationwide Children's Hospital in Columbus, Ohio over the years. She loved cooking, playing cards, and spending time with family, especially grandchildren and great-grandchildren. She is survived by her husband of 69 years, Regis E. Huck, whom she married September 15, 1953. Her six children, Bill married to Karen, Alan married to Peggy, Eugene married to Teresa, Fred married to Carrie, Ann Ike Miller married to Jack, and Don married to Pam. 13 grandchildren, 20 great-grandchildren, siblings Paul Lang and Muriel, Maxine Warnock, and Martha Stevens. She was preceded in death by her infant son and siblings Howard, Norbert, and Eugene Lang, and Pat Staley, an infant sibling. Funeral Liturgy Mass will be held at 10 a.m. Wednesday, January 4th at St. John the Baptist Catholic Church in Churchtown, Ohio, with Father Dave celebrating. Burial will follow in the church cemetery. Visitation will be Tuesday, January 3rd, 2023 from 2 to 4 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. at the Marietta Chapel of Colleen People's Funeral Home and Rosary at 4 p.m. In lieu of flowers, memorial contributions may be made to the St. John's School Foundation. The family would like to thank all who participated in her care, including the staff at Marietta Memorial Hospital, Drs. Lloyd Dennis and Justin Lindsay. Colleen Peoples is honored to serve Mary's family and offers online condolences as well as many other resources by visiting their website, colleenpeoples.com, or going to their Facebook page. I think Grandma would be slightly surprised to see the word Facebook and a website in her obituary, but there it is. It's the times we're living in. So as I reflect upon her obituary, it just seems like, you know, this wonderful woman who was very loved, lived and died, and the marking of her death is listed in the paper. It's very humbling to think that our life is summed up in a few final words that are an obituary. But I think the truth of the matter is that our lives, especially as moms, hold great influence and meaning and speak volumes more than words found in an obituary in a newspaper or online or on Facebook. I had the honor of attending her visitation, and I have to say the line of people was shocking but not surprising. And at one point, I was talking with some friends who had driven well over 2 hours to come to her visitation, and someone stopped us and said, "Good luck, it's an hour wait from where you stand." And it was so funny to me because I don't think that anyone standing in that line to give their condolences to Grandpa or any of her children or my dad would even bat an eye at waiting around to do something for my grandma. It was humbling and exciting and just awesome to see all of the people that my grandma had in her life and that she gathered and, quite frankly, that she created. I'll have to share a picture maybe in the show notes of what my family looks like with their 6 living children and all the grandchildren and all the great-grandchildren, because it's just an amazing example of what can happen when 2 people fall in love and decide to have babies. I actually debated about sharing about Grandma because she is so special. And it's one of those loves and one of those special relationships that you just hold super close to your heart because it just is and was that special. But I also think that her legacy is too powerful not to share. You can actually learn a lot about my grandma by hearing about the last few days of her life. I think the last few days of her life were very noteworthy. She was 91. She and my grandpa lived at their home on their farm by themselves, which is something I think most of us want at the end of our days. She did not suffer from disease. Her heart was weak from age, and she died of old age. Her last day at home was Christmas Day, surrounded by her family. And the next day she woke up feeling confused. A UTI had taken hold. And just as a side note, because you can always learn things from grandma, a UTI plus low sodium can cause confusion in older people. So when I brought this detail up to people when they asked what was wrong with grandma, I had quite a few people reach out and say, yes, my mother or my grandmother suffered from the same thing. So I'm just going to put it out there. If a loved one of yours ever has something like that happen, ask that their sodium levels be checked. There's always something to learn from grandma. All of grandma's children, minus a stillborn son, her first child, are all alive and well. So she outlived all of her children, which I know as moms is a wish for us too. And all of her grandchildren and great-grandchildren are also here. She outlived us all. And in this day and age, that is a miracle and every mother's dream to outlive her family. During her passing, she was surrounded by her children and husband, and it's my understanding that she spoke of seeing stars, which gives me great hope that she saw exactly where she was going. She spent moments in her hospital bed threading an imaginary needle, a task that she would be doing if she were at home. And then she sewed with that needle. At one point, Grandma prayed the rosary on repeat in her delirium. And I don't think enough of us, speaking for myself, would default to the rosary as automatically as Grandma did. The things that brought her peace and comfort were clear and available to her in her final days. I feel like as moms, we spend a lot of time looking for that peace and that comfort and connection to God. And for her, it was something she had practiced for many, many decades and was so solid in. It's a wonderful example for me as a person to slow down and lean into the things that are going to bring me peace and comfort and start practicing them now so that, God willing, you know, 50 plus years from now, I have that to lean into because I have had decades of experience with that comfort and peace as well. When I heard Grandma wasn't doing well, I sat down to write her a letter. I had had it on my heart for a while to write to her so that she knew how special she was to me. And there was a part of me that understood that she already knew and that it might not arrive in time. And I tried to overnight the letter so that someone could read it to her, but the next morning was a holiday and the mail was delayed and my letter didn't arrive in time. But it did arrive in time for my grandpa, and I heard through the grapevine that it helped him. And the final thought in that letter is what helped me the most through this whole transition. And I debated whether or not to share the letter with you because it is a personal letter from me to her. But I decided that I want to read it because it is a wonderful summary of her life, even more than her obituary and what she meant to me and so many others and what it was that made her just so special. I also think it shines a light on legacy and what real legacy looks like. We talk about it, those of us living on this earth, talk about it and we hope for it. And it's like a sometimes thought in the back of our minds or sometimes in the front of our minds that how we live our days is very important and that our legacy matters. And I want to share this letter with you because this is what someone's real legacy is. And I think that it is one that we as mothers are all secretly and not so secretly striving for. And I want to let you know that this level of legacy is attainable. And it's attainable from our mama hearts and our kitchen tables. Here's the letter. Grandma, you are one of my favorite people in the whole world. There is no one like you. I've known how special you are since I was a little kid and have admired you always. All of my favorite childhood memories are at your house, eating with family, playing with cousins, and playing cards with everyone. And of course, all the times you and I won hand and foot together. We are unstoppable, even on the rare occasions we lose. I always feel like I belong when I'm at your house, around your kitchen table. You have a wonderful way of making everyone around your table feel like they belong. The world tries to convince people that they don't belong, but never you. You make people feel good and welcome, and then feed them the most delicious food just to drive the point home. I've eaten at 5-star restaurants around the world, and there is no meal I'd rather have than a lunch at your house. Thank you for making me my birthday lunch this year, and thanks for making me yours and letting us celebrate with you. Thanks to Grandpa, too, because I know he is your good and faithful sous chef. Your hospitality is something I try to emulate in my own life. You've taught me the importance of being a good host who makes good food. You've shown me what it means to be good company, someone people want to laugh and tell stories with. When people come to my house, it's a bit like when people come to your house. They're getting a dose of you, even if they haven't met you. Thanks for showing me how. I'm a better mom because of you. The steady message I've gotten from you my whole life has been, children are a blessing and God always provides for a child. As a mom now, I know these are true. Thank you for that steady message and for making me feel like a blessing and a beloved granddaughter always, even when I have lived far away. Your faith is the cornerstone of my faith. I know I'm supposed to say my dad's is, and he gets a lot of credit for taking me to church for so many years and steering me straight, but it's your faithfulness and how you live out your faith that has made the biggest impact on me. The only thing that helps me come to terms with the thought that we won't always be together in this world is knowing we'll be together for eternity in heaven with Jesus and our whole family you created and nourished. Knowing I'll get to embrace you in heaven and rejoice with you always will be a hope and vision I carry with me my whole life, even when I'm an old woman and, God willing, a great-grandmother myself. I love you, Grandma, so very deeply. I'm glad my daughter has Mary as a namesake. I'm glad she's gotten to know you. I'm glad all my children have met you despite living so far away. They adore you like I do. So many people do. Thank you for being the brightest light I've ever known. Your love is constant in my mind and heart, and for that, and for the privilege of being your granddaughter, I'm forever grateful. I don't have any regrets that she didn't receive the letter in time. I can't even be sad that she didn't get the letter because I know that she knew how much I loved and admired her. And the past year was really special too. Because we were on the mainland, I got to see her for Mother's Day, her birthday, and my birthday, and my girls, and my sister made her her birthday cake, her last birthday cake. She made me my birthday lunch. It's all I wanted for my birthday. She and Grandpa taught my girls how to make her famous noodles from scratch. That was a major bucket list item for me. And there is so much I still wanted to do with her. I wanted to learn quilting techniques and sit with her while she quilted. I wanted her on the podcast, but at the same time, I didn't because she didn't even know what a podcast was. And just being in her presence and being loved with her is half her message anyway. I wanted to record more of her voice. I loved her thick Appalachian twang. I wanted to make more noodles with her. I wanted to play more cards. I've had a few devastating thoughts of who will be my partner in cards from now on. I want to be able to call her still and laugh and cackle together. And I want to pick up the phone and call her right now. I wasn't done with her, but the truth is I was never going to be done with her. there was never going to be a time I was going to be done wanting to be with her. My gosh, what a legacy to be the mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother. So many were never going to be done with. That kind of legacy was built on character, intention, faith, and how she showed up every day for 91 years. I wanted to tell you about her so that you can know her too. Grandma Huck was incredible. She ministered from her kitchen table. She told stories, and the same stories over and over. Anyone who sat at Grandma Huck's table probably heard stories of all the college students who came through, and priests and nuns from around the world, and all of the aunts and friends of her kids and grandkids who we brought everyone to Grandma Huck so that they could bask in her light too. We brought people to sit at her table, eat her delicious and pretty famous food, play cards, visit, and just let them experience an afternoon of love and belonging in a world that tries to tell you to be kind, be loving, and demands that you do or say or act a certain way that makes people feel like they quote unquote belong. Grandma Huck showed me what true kindness, love, and belonging is in only the way that a mother can. Grandma knew her role as mother, grandmother, and great-grandma were important, but she didn't talk about how important her roles were. She showed us by loving us, feeding us, listening, playing, sharing stories, reminding us how fortunate we are, and just loving so big. She believed children were a blessing, that grandkids were the icing on the cake, and the great-grandkids were the cherry on top. But she just didn't tell us those things on repeat. She showed us those things on repeat. If I'm honest, I kind of hoped that I'd get to read something that I wrote for Grandma at her funeral, because I wanted to make sure that the words captured who she was and that everyone knew how special she was. But the truth is, everyone already knew, and no words were really necessary. She had a funeral mass as she wanted. She was a very devout Catholic, and she told everyone that there wasn't anything to say at the end of one's life, that your life speaks for itself. I can tell you that that's true, and she lived that truth. And I did get to read at her funeral, but I read the first reading of Proverbs 31, and I'll share with you what it is I read now. Proverbs 31, who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She is more precious than rubies. Her husband can trust her, and she will greatly enrich his life. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She finds wool and flax and busily spins it. She is like a merchant ship bringing her food from afar. She gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her household and plan the day's work for her servant girls. She goes to inspect a field and buys it. With her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She is energetic and strong, a hard worker. She makes sure her dealings are profitable. Her lamp burns late into the night. Her hands are busy spinning thread, her fingers twisting fiber. She extends a helping hand to the poor and opens her arms to the needy. She has no fear of winter for her household, for everyone has warm clothes. She makes her own bedspreads. She dresses in fine linen and purple gowns. Her husband is well known at the city gates, where he sits with the other civic leaders. She makes belted linen garments and sashes to sell to the merchants. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instructions with kindness. She carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. I was able to read it like that at her funeral for the most part, although when it got to the part about there's no one like you, I think that all of us understood in that moment that Grandma Huck absolutely embodied that. At Grandma's funeral, my 5-year-old kept taking me out of the moment, and I just wanted to be present and sad, quite frankly, at my grandmother's funeral. But my daughter kept insisting that I look at the hymnal, and she kept opening it up to random pages and saying, "What does this say? What does this say? What does this say?" And I was starting to get annoyed because I just felt like I wanted to be there. And finally, I answered her question, and she said, "What does this say?" And I read the title of the song, and it said Mary's Song. My grandma's name was Mary. And I was like, well, you know, it's a Catholic church. For a second, I actually thought, I tried to dismiss it and say, well, it's a Catholic church, you know. There's lots of songs about Mary. And also, it seemed like something that was relevant to my grandma, too. And then my five-year-old opened to another song randomly in this giant, giant book filled with thousands of songs and said, "What does this one say?" And Mary was in the title of that one as well. And then she turned to another one, and a third time, and a fourth time, just randomly opened the book and said, "What does this say?" And you guys, every single time, Mary was in the title. And I understood that in my wanting to be present, I was not present. Grandma helped me understand that. So did God in that moment. I loved that it was Grandma too. It actually made me think back to all of her stories she has about having lots of squirrely young boys sitting in the pews and one of them punching in someone else's felt hat and squishing it flat and everyone getting a good laugh over that. She had so many good stories, you guys. And it was the same stories over and over and over again. And I'm so grateful for that, because in a world that says that everything has to be new and you have to be constantly seeking the new, it's the stories that are on repeat that I take comfort in now during this transition. After her passing, I'm so glad she told the same stories with the same laugh over and over, so that I have them written in my heart now. The night of her funeral, I tried to make her baked chicken recipe for my family, my parents and my siblings and all our husbands and wives and children and all of that. And it took all afternoon to cook something that just I wanted to honor Grandma with. And it was almost not quite, minus the applesauce, you guys. I think I got that down. but after the dinner, my mom said, "Hey, there's actually a couple of cookies that Grandma made, her Christmas cookies, her famous Christmas cookies she made every year." And I got to eat a cookie made by my grandma the night of her funeral. And if you can imagine me sitting at the kitchen table, realizing the weight of this moment. Absolutely, completely dry mouthed. You know, it's after Christmas at this point, so the cookies were a little dry too. They weren't when she first made them, but they were a little dry now. And I thought, gosh, I'm not sure Grandma would approve of me being so distraught over this cookie. And I thought, oh, actually, Grandma would approve of lots of things we did. But she'd probably encourage us to not be sad about it, but just enjoy it. So I had this whole mental battle with myself over this cookie and tried to be present in the moment and eat it. And when it was done, I thought, oh, what a gift, and how very Grandma that we would have something special and from her hands, even after her death. And the next day, you guys, we went out to visit my grandpa and just let him spend some time with the great grandkids and see how he was. And he fed us lunch. Chicken and noodles made by some Amish neighbors. It was absolutely delicious. I will say the cooking in Appalachia, wow, just it's off the charts. And he heated it up for us and we had it and just visited with him and played some cards with him. And then after lunch, he said, "You know, I have some cookies of Grandma's in the freezer. We should probably get those out and eat them." I thought, of course, here's another lesson from Grandma too, that we aren't actually done with her. We aren't actually done with her. And I got to have a butterscotch thin, which is like one of my favorite cookies that she makes. And no one can slice them as thin as Grandma. And it was absolutely delicious and quite the gift. I also saw her last grocery list that she wrote out that day. My grandparents are very practical people. And Grandma had started the list and then she passed, and Grandpa just continued on the list down below in his handwriting. And it's really something, you guys. It's really something that our grocery lists and our Christmas cookies mean something. they mean something now. They obviously mean something after our passing, but they also mean something right now. Motherhood is so important. How we show up for our families is so important. What we believe about our children and how we act on that belief is really important. The work that we do, whether we're, you know, quote unquote, working moms or stay-at-home moms or homemakers, it matters. Grandma liked to tell a story about going down to the Social Security office and having a woman condescendingly ask her, "And what did you do?" when she was signing up for Social Security. Ironically, Grandma would never have thought to treat someone like that or talk down to them. The harshest thing I have ever heard her say about anyone was when she decided a specific person was odd. And that's all she said was, "They're just a little odd." And that's it. Even then, it was said with such an air of, "They're odd, therefore we should have a little compassion for them." I, in hindsight, now realize that I have a ways to go, because definitely the harshest things that have come out of my mouth about other people have not been, "Well, they're just a little odd." But in Grandma Hook fashion, I'm not going to come down hard on myself. I'm going to pray about it and align my actions and beliefs. My belief that I do want to be more like her and to not just be a recipient of her example, but to be a person who carries on that legacy too. Teenagers loved her. Kids loved her. Grown-ups loved her. People would come to her home and take pictures of her house, which was mostly walls of pictures of her children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren over the years. And they would take pictures of her walls of John Deere tractor gifts, because if there was something with John Deere written on it, they'd think of Grandma or Grandpa and buy it for them, and they would hang it on their wall. They'd take pictures of her quilts, her cedar chest just full of quilts, her kitchen table. You guys, this year on the front of a Christmas card was a picture of someone visiting with Grandma at her kitchen table, front and center on that Christmas card. That is a real life goal. I want my kitchen table to be well loved like that. What an honor it would be to have a photo taken around my kitchen table and have it be put front and center on a Christmas card, so that when others received it, they would also know. They would know the love of that table. They'd recognize it and the good times that are had around it. They'd see a photo of my table and be like, "Ah, I know that table. That was a good day. Totally a Christmas card worthy moment." Mamas, I beg you to look at your life through the lens of legacy. To understand that your role as mother is the most important one you'll ever have. You are changing the world when you show up for your kids and make them understand they are a blessing. You minister in the mundane. Your kitchen table is a springboard for so much love. Feeding your family nourishing home-cooked meals, welcoming friends into your home, loving big, listening to others without judgment, any harsher than "they're just a little odd." Sharing stories of your own life and family, even on repeat, especially on repeat, and pausing to stop and play and laugh can be elements of a beautiful legacy. Mothers are incredible. Children are a blessing, and God always provides for a child. And in doing so, I believe He always provides for the mother as well. Thank you for taking the time to listen to these stories about my grandma during a time in my life where this is still very raw and I'm still filled with moments of disbelief that she is gone. But as you heard in these stories, she's also very much here and she's still encouraging me just from a different place. Thank you for showing up for yourself today and for your family. I hope you can see that the wonderful ways that you did show up today and the wonderful ways you show up every day will live far, far, far beyond today and have the power to encourage and influence many generations to come. Thanks again. I really appreciate you.
That's it for this episode of Elevating Motherhood. Thanks again for spending your valuable time with me today. I hope you found some insight and inspiration, or maybe a little of both. If you like today's show, please leave a review on iTunes. I use your feedback to plan future shows and cover topics that serve you. You can also connect with me on Instagram and Facebook. Links to those accounts are in the show notes. For more information, including today's show notes, head to elevatingmotherhood.com. That's elevatingmotherhood.com. Thanks again, Mama. I appreciate you.